years at the same church when I came here in 2012. During that time, I was extremely active, took numerous Bible classes, was on the board of deacons, as well as I was the moderator of the board of deacons for 9 years, taught high school Sunday school, and became a youth advocate leader back in 1991, which I don't think a single soul in this room, other than the adults, were alive at that time. Definitely weren't thought about. So the youth that I work with, they did the youth service once a year. They actually ran the whole service for the whole church once a year, which means they preached and everything. You guys run it every single week, and I wanted to make sure I brought that up to you so that you know how special that is, that you get the opportunity to serve in 24/7 that prepares you for a life after youth. And that's what it's for. So I want to share a youth story with you that I think is pretty cute, and I think you'll laugh. So since they did it once a year, they actually got really good at that service, and we had requests from different churches for us to come and do it for their church because they didn't have youth programs. So this one year, we went to the mountains up near Montreat, worship at a local church. The fun day was snow tubing. Who's been? Who's been snow tubing? Come on. Okay, so being as I started with you guys at a very young age, I, of course, participated. Well, when I got up there to get on the mat to go down the hill, I suddenly had 10 teenagers, high schoolers, on the same mat with me. And we went down the hill, obviously super fast, but at the other end of the path, there was an uphill, and at the top of that hill was a road, okay? So we go down so fast and start back up, I'm thinking we're not going to stop, but luckily a tree stopped us, and nobody got hurt, even though it sounds like we should have, but no one got hurt. So that night, we go to the cabin, and we are all there, and we had the boys on one side of the house and the girls on the other, and we had bunk beds, kind of like you do when you go to camp. But we were all in the same rooms, except separated, because we didn't do purpling either. So that night I went to bed, and I have a habit of talking in my sleep. Yeah, Pastor Tammy said I still did it last time I went on a retreat with her. So that night I woke up screaming, because I was reliving the tubing, evidently, in my dream. And the girls got to me so fast, I don't even know how they got to me that fast, and got me awake so that I would quit screaming so I didn't wake up the whole house. Well, us adults, after you have kids, you wake up in the middle of the night, and we gotta go to the bathroom. That's just the rules. So I headed to the bathroom like I normally would. I walked in, and I got the door in my hand with my back to the bathtub, getting ready to shut it. And all of a sudden, I had not one, not two, three boys in the bathtub that jumped out. No, 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 Miss Deborah, don't do that. Don't do that. We heard you scream, and we went and hid. You do realize I went, really? Now tell me a real story, what was going on. So in my room, where I was asleep, the boys had snuck in, and they were very innocently, the girls were seniors, and they were seniors, or they might have been juniors, I don't remember. But they were all sitting on the top of the bunk having, and they were talking. This is before we had cell phones, so there was no texting going on, if you understand that, which I know is probably hard to believe. So, no, I did not rat them out. I did send them to bed. And that year when we had the senior roast, they all thought I was going to roast them, but I didn't. I let it slide. But I don't think I ever had that happen again after that one incident, because I scared everybody so bad. a small rabbit hole to help you know a little more about who I am. And say, so many people will say that they have had encounters with Jesus, but they don't give, or I haven't had them give me good examples of that, or an example period that I can remember an adult sharing with me. So I've got three such encounters that I want to share with you, and there's a whole point to the story, so just listen up. At a young age of 10, my closest grandfather passed away. The next day, we were at my grandparents' house, and my parents wanted me to go take a nap. What 10-year-old takes naps? Come on. So I was an only child, and because I was an only child, I tended to hang with the adults. And evidently, they had stuff they needed to do, so that's how they got rid of me. So I go to bed, and I was really upset. And we had done church, but at that point, I had not accepted Jesus as my Savior that I can remember. Not long after that, I did, but I don't remember it being that young. So when I laid down, I was facing the door, and I was on my side, and I was very upset. So I was praying to Jesus about how much I miss Papa, and that this pain was just too hard to bear. I realized I was only 10, and I don't know if you had anything happen to you at a very young age, but it was the first grandparent, it was the first loss of any kind of parent for me. Then I turned over, I was probably tossing and turning, if all fairness be known, and right beside me was a pillow. And I remember it as if I was seeing it today. The pillow had an indention in the pillow. Back in those days, we had pillows that didn't have foam. So if you laid on it, you know, it showed. And all of a sudden, I felt a warmth and totally at peace. And I realized that Jesus was with me, and so was Papa. That he would always watch after me, even though he wasn't there. So the next one's a little hard for me to share, but I think it's important, so I'm going to try, so forgive me if I cry. But my next big encounter, I was only 27. My mother had a massive heart attack on her way home from work, and do you know what she did? She drove the rest of the way home and called my house for me to call 911. That's how confused she was. I panicked, got to the hospital. They didn't have cell phones back then, although my mother had one of these humongous bag phones. And if you don't know what that is, just Google it sometime to see how big that stupid thing was. It was humongous. So I don't really know why she didn't use that. But I want to give you a little backstory. At the time, my mother called me every day. To say it was irritating is probably an understatement. How many of you get a text or some type of communication from your mom daily? It's just, in being an only child, that's how she did life. So the doctors, they did an open heart surgery and repaired her heart, but she had a breathing tube down her throat, and there was complications, and they couldn't get the breathing tube off of her. So they came to me not just once, but several times, and told me she would not make it through the night, that there was no way she would live. I, of course, had ministers come in. Actually, the Presbyterian church I was a member of came, because Mom and I both had been going there. And this one night, they came to me, and each time she pulled through that night, this one night they came to me and they were very adamant that she would not make it. My aunts were there, my mom's sisters, and they made me go home because they wanted me to rest that night. I argued, of course, but I went. That night, when I prayed for my mom, I prayed for the healing, just like I always had, or like I had been doing for about 14, 16 weeks. But I added something. I asked the Lord to let me talk to her one more time. The next morning, the phone rang at 5 a.m. And on the other end was this voice that I did not recognize at all. And I was so afraid it was that she had passed away. But the voice was,
"Deborah, Deborah, where's my bedroom shoes?"
They had gotten the ventilator out of her that night, and God pulled her completely through. My aunts didn't even know that they had done it. I got the first phone call, and it wasn't from the nurses. It was from my mom. That was an answered prayer, for sure. I got to keep her 14 more years. So there's a big story that goes with that. Happens to be in the book that we wrote. part of it, at any rate. So that was, the doctors actually had to come to me and admit it was a miracle because they did not expect her to live. They really did. So the third time, I was at another youth event, and I was at Camp New Hope in Chapel Hill, so it was close by. And that night, I was out, and I did, a lot of times I had to do the cabin checks to make sure everybody was in their cabin, there was no purpling. So I did all that. Yep, still did that. So I had to walk back to where I was staying, and it was a long, dark road. There was no cabins, there was no lights, there was nothing. And I was praying. I cannot remember to save my life. I tried hard to remember what was bothering me at that time and what I was praying. I really don't remember. But I was praying, and I looked over to the left, and there was a big moon out, so I saw my shadow, right? You would see your shadow with the moon shining on you in the trees. And so I kept praying, and all of a sudden, I felt this need to look to my left again, and I saw two shadows. And the second shadow was taller than me and was walking right beside me. I looked back up at the moon. It hadn't changed. It was big and bright. But I had my experience with Jesus, and he was walking with me to let me know he was with me while we were praying, while I was praying. And that is kind of hard for a lot of people to understand, but we being a faith-based church, I can't talk. I wanted to share that so that you would know there really is times that you will encounter God. So I wanted to say all of that so that I could say this part. Have you and I gotten so used to the talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit that we don't even notice that it is him talking? Who is this God, Jesus, Holy Spirit? How did they come about? Well, there's a long story, and there's a longer story that most of you have probably heard over the years if you've been in church. But tonight, I want to share a couple of things that was brought to my attention recently. So the first is going to be Luke, if we can put that up, chapter 2, verses 21 through 32. And I apologize it's long, but I really felt like you needed the whole thing. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. So start with verse 21. On that day of the baby's circumcision ceremony, 8 days after his birth, his parents gave him the name Jesus, the name prophesied by the angel before he was born. After Mary's days of purification had ended, it was time for her to come to the temple with a sacrifice, according to the law of Moses, after the birth of a son. So Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be dedicated before the Lord. Same thing we did last Sunday with the babies. we still do today. For it required in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be set apart, one for God, and to offer a prescribed sacrifice, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. I don't agree with what the Passion said, so I wanted to make sure I read it to you out of a version the way I have learned it. So on verse 24, during that time, you had to follow a very strict cleanse and purification after you gave birth. And according to Leviticus 12:8 in the NIV, if she cannot afford, which would tell me they were not wealthy, if she cannot afford a lamb, then she is to bring two turtle doves and two pigeons. Yes, they kind of got that part wrong in the version, but I wanted to make sure I clarified that. So let me go back, verse 25. As they came to the temple to fill this requirement, an elderly man was there waiting, a resident of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a very good man, a lover of God, who kept himself pure, righteous, and devout, and the spirit of holiness rested upon him. Simeon believed in the imminent appearing of the one called the refreshing of Israel, aka the Lord Christ. For the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the anointed one of God. For this reason, the Holy Spirit had moved him to be in the temple court at that very moment. Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. Simeon cradled the baby in his arms and praised God and prophesied, saying, Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content, for your promise to me has been fulfilled. With my own eyes, I have seen your word, the Savior you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people, Israel, and the revelation light for all people everywhere. This man, Simeon, I can't even say his name now, from Jesus' time, had the Holy Spirit on him. And he saw God's word. How? But wait, Pastor Micah just preached last week that the Holy Spirit was to come upon them when he, Jesus, is raised to sit on the right hand of God the Father. That was Acts 1 through 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. The actual happening on the day of Pentecost is in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, in case you want to read that. As you can see from the above scripture, the Holy Spirit was around before Jesus and therefore was a part of the world from the beginning. Now, during the days prior to Jesus, the Spirit was upon the prophets, and God actually spoke to, I don't know if she was able to get it, but I've got the scriptures if you want them, but I've got Adam and Eve, Cain, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and Elijah, just to name a few. There was lots more, but just to name a few. The difference between then and now is that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit fills your inner spirit. It's not on top of you. It's inside you. And is with you always. So you can communicate with our Heavenly Father. It's inside you. So you have a translator. So at this point, I would hope we could all agree that the Spirit of God has been here from the beginning, and as believers, we now have the same Spirit within us today. But do we know that we are hearing the Spirit or something else? That's another question. Did you know that you can actually hear the voice of God? You have to learn how to take advantage of all that God gives has given you, and in doing so, you can hear the voice of God. Do you know that Jesus tells us that we can hear the voice of God? He spells it out plainly in John 10, 1 through 5, again, Passion Translation. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Listen to this eternal truth. The person who sneaks over the wall to enter into the sheep pen, rather than coming through the gate, reveals himself as a thief coming to steal. Would that not be true? Your friends don't come in through the window, do they? Don't tell me if they sneak in at night." But typically, if someone's coming in the window, they're not a friend. I don't know. But the true shepherd walks right up to the gate, and because the gatekeeper knows who he is, he opens the gate to let him in. And the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, and he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him. And when he has brought out all his sheep, he walks ahead of them, and they will follow him, for they are familiar with his voice. But they will never run away from, they will run away from strangers and never follow them, because they know it is the voice of a stranger. They will know his voice. How do they know his voice? Give you a little backstory so maybe you can understand where Jesus was coming from. Back in the day, they had many shepherds. And the shepherds had a certain number of sheep. As the song implied, let's say they have 100 sheep, which is the way it was described not long ago to me. And so the sheep at night, they would take the sheep to a pen and where the sheep would stay for the whole night. Well, back then, they didn't have real gates. So one shepherd, of course, so feel sorry for this guy, would stay behind and literally lay down at the opening so no sheep could leave. And no one could get into the pen if they didn't know them. The next morning, each shepherd would come, pick up their sheep that knew their master's voice, and it would be much like, does your dog and cat know your voice? Your animals know your voice? How do they know it? Because you talk to them, right? So that's pretty much the same. But Jesus says, and it's in red in the NIV, that means Jesus said it. They know his voice. So we know how the sheep know the shepherd's voice. How would he talk to the sheep? Would he tell them they are lazy, ugly, unwanted, belligerent, unaccomplished? You fill in the blank. No. If you've been hearing such in your head, you know those are not the shepherd's words. His words would be loving, however stern, whenever you misstep. They will be stern, but it's always followed with comfort. It's been many a times I've said, Jesus just hit me over the head with a 2x4. Hello. Wake up. So you would learn to move forward. So don't think he doesn't bring it to your attention when you've done wrong. What do you think we need to do to learn his voice? I would say we must read and study God's word. That sounds like a plan, right? You hear that from us probably every week. But what does that really look like in your life? For me, I'm reading and listening to the Bible. I think it's called the Holy Bible, the brown one, is that right? On my way to work. And then again on my way home from work every day. So I get the same scriptures in twice. And I do that because I actually retain it better in my brain if I actually read the scriptures myself instead of have it read to me. So I miss stuff because my brain will like wander off to what I'm cooking for dinner or whatever. But on the weekends, I get the extra time. I take the extra time and actually read the scripture, take notes, just like I do in church on Sunday. And ideally, I'm working to get back to doing that every morning. But that's me. And I'd like to ask a couple of the adults, and I've asked a couple of students, to to share how they get God's word into them. I'm going to start with, where's Scott? Or Leanna? All right. Jasmine, you're close. You want to start?
So, when first approaching the Bible, it can seem like a lot. And one of the best things I've learned about reading the Bible is patience with it. I heard, you know, it's better to read, I'm going to use Ephesians for example, it's better to read Ephesians 1 and understand it than to read all of Ephesians and not understand any of it. It's like, you know, why would you read instructions on how to build a table when you're not really paying attention to it? You won't know how. So it's good to understand it. And I like to read over it, and then I'll read over it again, and I'll underline stuff, highlight stuff, write notes. I'll even draw pictures of it, and I'll do whatever I can to understand that verse or passage or whatever, you know.
So for me, I like to try to read like a little section of the Bible, kind of like what you were saying, like not just read through like a whole thing and be like, okay, I read it, but like maybe read a few verses at a time. And then I also like to have worship music on while I'm doing that, and it just like keeps me in the right spot, I think. And when I read those few verses, I like to write them down and like think about them and like, you know, read them. And I like to do it if I can in the mornings, but if I'm like running late and I don't have time, then I try to do it at night afterwards. So yeah, that's what I do.
So what I do is I use the Bible on my phone, and I have that, you know, the Bible app. And so I have it to where when I first wake up, I do the verse for the day. Like, it has a thing where it can give you the verse for the day. So I have it set to a time to where when I first look at my phone, that verse is going to be there. I try to do that very first thing, because if I don't do it first thing, I'm going to get busy. I'm going to get busy feeding dogs and getting ready for work and doing all that stuff. So I do that first to just try to make it that God is the first priority. So I just try, it reminds me that God is the first priority. So I do that. Then while I'm getting ready, I'm doing the read through the Bible for a year, in the year. So I play that, I listen to it while I'm getting ready. On the way to work, I'm praying about the day. And then I have reminders set so that that daily verse keeps coming back to me throughout the day. Because I just feel like every day I try to get a verse that I'm going to meditate on throughout that day. So I set reminders to where throughout the day that verse keeps popping up on my phone. And then that's the last thing I do before I go to sleep, is I look at it again, just trying to just get that verse in my head as much as I can. And then on the weekends or when I'm off, that's when I get to spend more time digging deep. So that's when I get out, usually before anybody's up, I get out, you know, my Bible and my concordance and my Vines dictionary and like all these things, and different versions of the Bible. And so I'll read a passage, and what jumps out at me, I feel like God's saying go deep in that. So then I'll start looking up maybe the definition of that particular word and see how it applied to that culture. And so that's just what I do. I don't like try to read, I'm not trying to muscle through a huge amount. I'm reading until something jumps out at me. Like, and before I do this, I do pray and I ask the Holy Spirit to highlight to me what he wants to say to me that day. So I read until the light bulb comes on, and then I take that thing and I try to go deep with that one passage. And so that's what I do.
My life has changed a little bit since I stopped working full time. So being home all the time and working at home, used to be I'd get up in the morning and I would want to read. I would spend a little bit of time in the Word before I got in the car and started yelling at people. So I would, you know, it would kind of settle me and prepare me for my day, and that was always helpful. Now I got a little bit more, it's a different kind of a schedule, but the things that I've found really helped me the most are some of the online resources like Bible Hub, is I can sit there and dig into commentaries about sections of scripture that I'm interested in, that I'm reading about, and actually see other commentaries and other like breakdowns of this word in Hebrew means this, and that's, and so I can spend, you know, 30, 45 minutes to an hour just digging through one or two verses, and so that's kind of where I find myself now.
Can you guys see a pattern that we all spend time in the Word somehow each day? And that's what I would so love for you guys to be able to do. Someone told me years ago that to start out to do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason for that is those are the books that tell Jesus' story. And each book has a little different version of the same thing. Just have to make it, you don't have to make it complicated. One of the things that came back to me was an old sales thing that someone taught me years ago. It's called KISS. And I know, probably shouldn't say this word in church, but keep it simple, stupid. And, you know, if you've got a test coming up, don't you have to study? You have to study for it, right? Most people have to study. My husband was a non-studier. It's not fair. But in order to get God's word on your inside, you need to study it. I'm going to ask the band if they'll come back up. Felicia said that they would. And back me up for this next part. What is the first step? Shortly, I'll have everyone close their eyes and bow their heads. When I do that, it is your opportunity to ask Jesus to come and be your Savior. Corey, can I get you to put that over? Move this out of the way for me. So before I do that, though, I'm going to ask you guys to everybody come forward. I want to do this one song. I know I only had 5 minutes. I'm sorry, but this, I just really felt like I needed this song one more time, that it goes with what we were teaching tonight. If you feel a burning on the inside of you now, you feel a desire to know Jesus, I want you to just put your hands up and you can take it right back down. Nobody's going to call you out. No one's looking around except me. I see that hand. Raise your hand now. I see that hand. I see that hand. I don't want anyone going home tonight without having a relationship with our Lord. So I'm going to give you another chance. Raise your hand now. All right, everybody can look up and clap for me. We have people across the room. Yeah. So I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, and I would like for everyone to repeat this prayer or say this prayer with me. Repeat it after me, if you will. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you that you willingly came and paid the price for my sins with your death on the cross, so that I could be free to serve you and free to spend time of an eternity with you and free to fulfill my destiny in you. I repent for my sins. And I say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, come and live on the inside of me now and empower me to be the Christian that the Bible promises me I can be. As I come to church, get involved in the church life, my life will never be the same. Let's give everybody a big round of applause. Thank you.